That's enough of him, don't you? That's where the title came from. You've already sung a hymn that I asked for. That's given you clues. Our brother Roger in his prayer gave you more clues. So I'm wondering whether I need to say anything at this point, because I think we've covered the subject between the two. So maybe we should talk about chocolate eggs or something. But yes, there was a rock group called Queen that had that song, and it went with a series of films about living forever. Actually, they didn't want to live forever, it decided. Most of them, they decided it wasn't such a good idea. Well, hopefully I can explain to you why it is a good idea. My first question is, how do you spend your days, your time that you have on this planet? Well, here's some of the answers, apparently. I'm sure you can't read it all, but I'm going to highlight some of them to you. How much time do you spend commuting a day, those of you at work? How many steps do we walk a day with the Fitbits or whatever else, or the pedometers and everything else, that'd be bicycles. Anyway, you know, we measure and worry about, do we do our 10,000 steps a day and so on, and the answer is no, we don't. On the right-hand side it says we do about 4,000 on average. We commute 16 miles, and this is just in this country, every day. Apparently daily we spend 24 million hours on Twitter, 34 million hours on Facebook, and even more time than that watching the TV. So we're not on this planet very long. You'd be forgiven for thinking we'd spend it wisely, wouldn't you? But think again, you can see what we're doing with it. And yet we say the sad fact is there aren't enough hours in a day to do something worthwhile. That life just gets in the way. We can make room for fun and adventure, but the cold reality is many of us spend a large proportion of our day in various places we might not want to be, in traffic, in a train, travelling to work, in an office, working. You know, time is premium. Is that a premium, isn't it? But we want an easy solution. For better or for worse, computers, tablets, laptops, smartphones have become the means through which we see our world. People go to concerts, even plays and things, and they stand there with their mobile phone filming it, and they're basically looking at what's in front of them through their phone. I mean, it's mad. Might as well have stayed at home and watched somebody else's footage on YouTube. Apparently, we spend about a staggering 62 million hours on all the combined social websites in just one day. And all this time begs the question to me, what did we do with our time before we had these things, before these time thieves came along? And then it's got other facts on there. Apparently 680 couples get married on average per day. 322 couples will get divorced in the same day. Not the same couple, but you understand what I'm saying. 2,100 babies are born. But as a country, we've almost reached a 50% divorce rate, and that's definitely nothing to be proud of. So, what I'd like to say is, what a waste of time and life. And then to think about the fact that of this, not hours, but how many minutes a day do we even spend on thinking about God, on average per day? And maybe you'd like to think about that yourself, you know, is it minutes, is it hours? I have to wonder whether it really is hours. Is it minutes, is it seconds? We can only think about that ourselves. All I can say is any time spent thinking about God is well spent, unlike all the other things. But we have these things about, we've wasted life and you've seen how we waste life. Let's look at what we try and do to stay young. Eight foods that give you younger looking skin and slow aging. Fantastic. Slows aging. That's just what I need. 10 years younger now. Brilliant. Yeah, that sounds good. But then in the smaller print you probably can't read, how to look younger, secrets revealed. Oh, it's only to look younger. It doesn't actually make you 10 years younger. So I think that's a bit of a a con as far as the advert goes. And are they magic solutions? No, I'm afraid they're not. And even the one that makes your skin look younger, does it get rid of wrinkles? No, it just helps hide them or hydrate your skin in some way to get to the point that they're not quite as obvious. Some years ago, my niece was about 4, and she suggested to my mother, her grandma, that if she got an iron, she could smooth out those lines for you. And in some ways, that solution would be about the same. Apparently, you can colour your hair with Grecian formula, and especially aimed at men to get rid of grey. But I unfortunately don't need this product, because I've got 3 different reasons, and see if you can find the correct one. One, I've got rose-coloured glasses on that adjust anything I see, so it looks pretty pink to me when I look in the mirror. I actually don't have any grey that needs colouring, because my natural colour is white, apparently. Or maybe 3. I believe in eternal life as set out in the Bible, so how I look now is not of the greatest concern to me. So maybe that's the correct answer. I think it is. So, I'm afraid ways to stay younger, no it won't. But God offers eternal life in his book, the Bible, and that's where we need to be looking. Billionaires. They're mostly tech billionaires, as they call them. Ones who've made their money out of computers or Facebook or those media sites we just talked about. Or ways of paying for things on the internet or whatever. And I'm not expecting to be able to read all this. I'm going to read a bit of it to you. But these guys are now trying to solve their biggest problem. They've bought the Porsche, the Ferrari, the Lamborghini and everything else. They've got the 17 houses in different states, in different countries and different continents. They've got the super yachts. They've run out of things to spend money on. So they've decided now that the one thing that they've got in common with the rest of us is they die. And they don't like that. So they're trying to look at their biggest problem now in their lives, which is the fact that they're getting older. And they don't like it. They've looked at reprogramming DNA to print in organs. Silicon Valley's most successful and wealthy leaders are investing in biomedical research in all sorts of ways and new technologies in the hope of finding the secret to living longer or for even forever. So the first guy on there is called Peter. And he's looking into hormone growth, apparently, and takes it every day, and he wants to have himself cryogenically frozen after his death in case someone can wake him back up and fix him. But he says some interesting things. The way people deal with aging is a combination of acceptance and denial. They accept there's nothing they can do about it and then deny it's going to happen to them. And if you think about it, I think that's true. Larry, the next guy, said that death has never made any sense to me. How can a person be there and just vanish and just not be there? And he was telling that to his biographer. Okay, so then we get Sergey. He's apparently spent $150 million so far trying to find a cure for Parkinson's and found nothing. But he wants to transform the way we detect and prevent and manage disease in general. I mean, the laudable aims, and I can't say anything wrong with that. There's Sean of Napster, who's got food allergies, and so he's got family members with autoimmune disorders, and he's put millions into looking at things like allergies into cancer research. And then we've got Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. He wants to know what will enable us to live forever. How do we cure all diseases? And how does your brain work? So, yeah, he's got some small questions. All of man's intellect and all the money that they're putting into this, but there's still next to no progress. Because they're looking in the wrong place. They should be looking here, shouldn't they? In the Bible. That's what they need to research. But they're not at the moment. Google versus death is an interesting one that came up on Time magazine. Can Google solve death? That was a challenge. And you might think that sounds daft, but Larry Page, who's one of the co-founders, has invested $750 million. $750 million in a company called Calico, which is Californian Life Company, which is basically some company looking at anti-aging research. He's put $750 million into it so far, that is. And that's why they're saying, can Google solve death? And it was on Time magazine, and there's people mocking up various pictures about Google and that idea of what the Grim Reaper looks like, which obviously is entertaining but completely fictional. So, has Google gone off at the deep end? Solving death sounds a bit of a stretch even for them, doesn't it? But yet, that's what they want to do. And I suggest Google's guys are about to join that set of failed elite people that have tried to do more than they can manage. And there was an article all about it. And this is what they said. If Las Vegas was taking bets on this fight, the smart bet might be on death, not Google. They're telling you, bet on death, because Google are not going to manage to win this fight. It really is time to read the Bible, but how do you get them to do this? So, a quick summary of some of the things that I've looked at. I'll read them to you if you can't see them. But we looked at anti-aging creams and hair colour, and they're all superficial, they're not even skin deep in most cases. We talked about the use of time and Facebook and Twitter. We should spend the time researching God instead. All these rich people are worrying about death. They need to stop worrying and actually believe in God and his promises. What will enable us to live forever? Well, hopefully we'll get to that in a few minutes. How do we cure all diseases? Well, God can, and again, we'll cover that. How does the brain work? Well, God does actually know, because he designed it. These billionaires trying to buy life extension, for real extension of life, please see the Bible again. And like they say, the way people deal with aging is a combination of acceptance and denial. They accept there's nothing they can do about it and deny it's going to happen to them. Well, the saying is that there's two things that are sure, isn't it? Death and taxes. So, we need to look at it, don't we? Because it affects every one of us. And as I said, you know, when Google versus death, bet on death, because Google's not going to win. And if man doesn't have the answer, who does? So we all age, we all die. Whether we pursue the offer in the Bible is an individual decision. But eternal life is available to all. There are T's and C's that apply. But God can be found in here, along with his T's and C's, if you like. His terms and conditions. I'm hoping that other talks you've listened to has covered God's word and the fact that it is, the Bible is God's word, and I don't need to cover that, because 3,000 plus times it says God said that, and these are some of the things I want to cover. But we need to look at what God said about eternal life and what we can find out about who wants to live forever. Some of the things the Bible does tell you very clearly is that you're unique, and you can look at that and find that in Psalms, that you're special, that you're important. And you can look at Ephesians and 1 Peter for that. You were created for a purpose, Jeremiah. And finally, it offers the possibility of eternal life, and that's in John 3:16 as one of the famous places to look at. So I looked a bit further and found this list for you, and obviously you can all read that perfectly. But that's the point. There's many, many more than that. There's so many verses that talk about eternal life in this book, the Bible. Many, many others. And I thought maybe if we went through them one by one, we'd get the message. Maybe you don't want to. But I do ask, do you want to live forever? Maybe you say no, because I don't want to live in pain or ill or old or whatever it is. So maybe I change the question a bit. Do you want to live forever without illness, pain, sorrow, etc.? Then maybe we'll get a lot more interested. Because some people don't like life today, do they? But they find it disappointing at times, or they get frustrated, or they're fearful, or whatever, or they hate their jobs and they spend most of their lives there, so they don't like it. People get depressed, etc. But if all those things aren't there, then maybe it's a much more attractive offer. And I think people get into problems when God is not real to them, when they hold him at arm's length. Then everything grows old and gradually dies. Love grows cold, relationships break apart, wars are fought, quarrels begin, misunderstandings cause problems, even within families. You know, they're the things that go wrong if you ignore God. So, who wants to live forever without pain and without illness and sorrow? Well, hands up. Well, I do anyway, and maybe I won't force you to put your hands up now, but you know, I do want to live forever. And Jesus himself sort of has shown us it's possible, and that's what we'll talk about. And we need to learn more about it, don't we? So, some quotations for you. So these are out of the Bible. The first one's from Daniel, and the second one's from Matthew, and hopefully you can see that they're highlighted, so you know where I'm getting them from. But before I get to that, Paul said, "The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed." So this present life isn't how you should judge eternal life. It's so much better. And that was from Romans 8 and verse 18. "And the kingdom will be on earth." It's not this picture of people sat around all day on clouds playing with harps and having wings, possibly carried there by an escalator or whatever. No, the kingdom of God will be on this earth, and we'll have things to do. Not to sit around and play with harps all the time. So I really do think it's time we dust off the Bible and read it properly. So Daniel, that's on there, says, you know, he talked about, he was inspired to foretell the resurrection of the dead at the coming of Jesus, and that's what part of that quote's from. And he called it an awakening from a dreamless sleep of death. And he also adds that only some of those that are raised will be made immortal. So he says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt," in brackets, death again. And he's not saying that they're going to be punished forever or anything to shame, or feel shame, everlasting contempt forever, because they will be dead again. It's just that those who know will think, that are still immortal, will know that they, if you like, didn't make it, shall we put it that way. And then we've got Jesus explaining some more. Effectively he's saying that he's going to clear out the world. It's almost like World, the Earth Mark II, the reboot, the upgrade, whichever words you want to use. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. They'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that's from Matthew 13. The world has been cleansed. And we can go further and we can look at after the resurrection, how the faith will be rewarded with this eternal life. But there is also that important warning that some, not all, will get eternal life. And we could look at the Psalms. Psalm 9 and verse 17. It talks about the wicked returning to the grave and all nations that forget God. Hell or Sheol are names that just mean grave. We're being told that people are rejected at judgment in the last day. We'll just die again. The fate will be everlasting destruction, not destruction that lasts forever, not that keeps on being hurt or burnt or whatever images you might have. It's more their reputation will be remembered of what they failed to do. For those that do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1. Jesus was asked what was almost a trick question, especially by people who didn't believe in resurrection in the first place. And this is in Luke 20. And his answer was about the fact that the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain to that age, as in the kingdom age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and the sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. So not only is there no illness and pain and so forth and death, but there's a promise of being equal to the angels. I think that's quite an amazing promise. I don't know about you. So we get to Psalms again in 103. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word and heed in his voice. That's what the angels are told. And we can look at people like Abraham, how things were accounted to him for righteousness in Hebrews 11. You know, God knows that we all fail. All that we ever earn in this life is death, let's face it. But God wants us in his kingdom, in his son's rule by his son. He wants us there. He wants to forgive our failings. And hence that's why Abraham was accounted to him for righteousness in what he did do in his faith. And God too can count us righteous in his sight if we have a faith like Abraham and act accordingly. God wants us to be baptized into the saving name of his son so that we can be covered by his sacrificial death. And Paul's chapter about baptism in Romans 6, he ends with this as a summary. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift, is eternal life. But we can't also ignore what he wrote in Romans 2. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory, honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. It's back to the fact that there are some T's and C's, if you like. But to get to eternal life, we've got to really want it. We've got to reach out to God for the salvation that he's offered to us. As Jesus said, we must hunger and thirst from Matthew 5, after the things which are right with God. And then it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus and God's grace and mercy that we have that hope. At the back you'll find lots and lots of leaflets on this subject for more detail on it. Please do take them and read them with your Bible. I'd like to finish by reading something from Revelation chapter 21 and the first 5 verses. If you like, this is our reading, but we're having it at the end. And it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." I think that's an amazing picture. And as I said, everything's fixed, if you like. The former things have passed away. There's no more pain, no more crying, no more mourning, no more death, no more tears. And he who was seated upon the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, Write this down, for these things are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be his son. He will be my son. So, I guess I do have this question now, but I don't expect hands to be shown. Who wants to live forever? I do, but do you? And that's the thought I want to leave you with. That was our reading. But God is calling. The question is, will you answer?